Turn, if you will, in your Bibles. 1989, I preached this sermon. I've been waiting a long time to preach it again. I figured everybody's died off by now. And how many of you here in 1989? We have a few. Man, y'all getting old. I know I am. Well, we have a few. Praise the Lord. Y'all probably not here on that Sunday morning, so here we go. Ezekiel chapter 37. No, I didn't preach it here. I preached it at a town meeting we had down in under a tent. I enjoyed it then. I'll enjoy it again today. It's just good that we can preach on it. Ezekiel and the dry bones. The hand of the Lord came unto me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, there was a noise. And suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds and breathe on these slain, that they might live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came to them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, today we need a fresh breath of your Spirit upon our lives. We need to turn this dryness in which we have in our country, Lord, to live again. Lord, I pray that your Spirit will move in the midst of the congregation this morning. There's lives here that are cut off. There's lives here that are dry. And God, I pray today they will become an exceedingly great and mighty church. We give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Here in the heart of the dust fills the air and dries Ezekiel's throat. It is his worst nightmare. He's been lifted up and placed in a valley. Now, usually when you think of valleys, you think of a nice, beautiful, green, lush valley with mountains on each side, a river running through it. Beautiful. But no, this is more like Death Valley. Went to Death Valley back 1996, and let me tell you something. It was named right. It's just dry and dead. This is his valley that God has placed him here. But glory to God. When God gets through, he blesses Ezekiel, and his dry valley is a living valley. You know, our lives are like the children of Israel. Some of you are here this morning and you're in a dry valley. You're living a dry kind of life. You feel like the children of Israel. Your bones are dry. You've been cut off. Your hopes are gone. You don't know where to turn. Friends, let me tell you something. God has a way of turning that dryness. God has a way of turning your worst nightmare into sweet dreams. You ever had a nightmare? Man, I have a nightmare every once in a while. I won't get into those, but let me tell you something. Those are nightmares, and you wake up and you're literally shocked to find, whoo, man, that was just a dream. God has a way of turning those nightmares into sweet dreams in your life. Some of you are here this morning and you've got heartaches. Your heart aches because of a loved one. Your heart aches because of trouble maybe in your family. Your heart aches maybe because of your children or whatever it might be. At this time of the year, many people get down and depressed because of the season. The season ought to be a glorious time in our life when we remember the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the world has turned that into something else. And today, people get depressed because they don't have. God has a way of turning those heartaches to happiness. You see, God has a way of changing things around. Here is a valley of dry bones. Ezekiel looks and there's bones everywhere. How did they get there? Whose are they? Well, Ezekiel knows. He says, this is the bones of Israel. Let me tell you something. Israel is dry. Israel is as dead as those white bones are. Have you ever seen dry bones out in a pasture? They've been there. You know, I came down to the house the other day down at the farm, and somebody had put a skull of an old cow up by the porch. And I said, I wonder where they got that old dry skull. You see, over the years, that was once a living animal, and something killed it, or it died of something, and the sun had parched it out. The buzzards had come and picked it clean, and through the years, it had turned white. The sun had bleached it out, and it was dead and dry. And when death comes, let me tell you something, the spirit departs, and the flesh decays. And all that's left behind are dry bones. A valley of dry bones, he says. And when a person leaves God out, and when a nation leaves God out, and a church leaves God out, the longer you are away from God, the drier and whiter the bones become. Because after years of running and years of being away, you are without hope, and you are as dead. And as long as you're dead, your bones are dry. I remember a story of David when he sinned. He says, my bones wax old. In other words, they begin to ache. They begin to be dry in their life. Listen, Israel has been away from God for a long time. He says, son of man, over in verse 36, listen, this is what he says. Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it. In other words, they left God out of it. They worshiped idols. They did all kinds of things that were displeasing to God. And God says, they're dead, Ezekiel. They are literally dead. Let me tell you something. One in rebellion is dead. One living in wickedness is dead. Sins literally drain the life out of a person. If you continue to sin, you run away from God, it slowly sucks the very life out of you. That's what sin does. Sin leads you to death, to the valley. Now, what we need in our church, what we need in our life is a vision today of just how dry we are. Let me tell you, folks, we have left God out. Christians have left God out. Over and over and over again, I hear of churches stopping their worship services on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. What are they doing? They're leaving God out. When did it become an inconvenience to worship God? That's what it's become in America. That's what it's become in our churches, in our Southern Baptist Convention. More and more churches are literally just leaving God out. And the bones speak of a devastation that comes from a nation like Israel, or comes from a church like First Baptist Gun Barrel, or some other church in our town. It speaks of a rebellion. And Israel has rebelled against God, and God has punished them. You know, at one time, they were very prosperous. God blessed them. God did this with them. They moved. They're a very prosperous nation today. If you go over there, you can find that they can grow things. You know, America may know how and have the technology to grow things, but we're leaving God out. They can grow things and develop things, and man, that's a very fruitful and place. It's literally today one of the nation's leading nations that grow fruit and vegetables and all kinds of things, and hay and corn and all of those things to feed people. Yet God had prospered them, and here they had left God out. I can only think of America, folks. Once we were a godly nation, once we cherished the words, "In God we trust," once that meant something, once we stood up and had prayer in our schools, once we stood up and had prayer in our government, no, it's being taken out. A few people speak up and cause trouble, and immediately we say, well, let them have their way. No, we ought to take a stand. We ought to be a country that says, no, if you don't like it here, go back to where you came from. You see? If you're not willing to worship the one and true God, why do you come here and cause trouble for those who do? But you see, they don't love God, and they don't want God. And you listen, they want to leave God out. A nation of people with integrity, that was the United States. That was America, a people that were honest, a people that were hardworking. We're no longer hardworking anymore. We think everybody ought to give us a living anymore. Folks, that's the wrong thing to do. And the Bible says we are as dry as these bones in the valley. No longer do people hunger for truth and integrity and honesty and hardworking people. Our nation become a cesspool of immorality. Children has been aborted over and over. Teenage sexuality is the norm nowadays, and it's popular, they say, to be gay. What in the world is wrong with us? Man, let me tell you something. Same-sex marriage, you want to vote on that? And yet, let me tell you something. If we're not careful, it will pass. Because Christians will sit back and say, oh, well, we can't do anything about it. It's just the way the world's going. It's the way we're leaving it and leading it, and we need to take a stand. You see, it is wrong. I don't care who says it's right. The Word of God says it is wrong. Let me tell you something, teenagers. Homosexuality is wrong. Being gay is not popular. It's an abomination to God. Don't follow that direction. Take a stand for what's right. Man, churches are no more than social clubs nowadays. People come to church, it bothers me when people come to church and all they want to do is sit around and play games with God. It bothers me that we'll have coffee machines and Coke machines and have it in our worship services. That's not right. Man, you ought to come to church and reverence and worship God. Bones that once had a zeal to them are now dry. Bones that once were alive are now dead. Bones that once gave support to marriages. Bones that once gave support to families and communities are now dry. Bones that once were alive are now dead because they don't have a purpose, they don't have a direction in their life, and they have no spirit in their life. We need to get that back in our life. And we must see bones and admit some things to our own lives. Listen, when Ezekiel saw these bones, he said, "Lord, can these bones live?" Or the Lord says, "Ezekiel, can these bones live?" And he said, "Lord, only you know." You see, God knows everything, doesn't he? He knows everything about us. He knows that if we turn to him, if we will take a stand for him, his word is, "I will bring revival to your land." I believe God's looking for a church. I believe God's looking for a nation now, once again, to get back on fire for God and stand up for what's right. But you know what? We need to admit something, that we are dry. We need to admit that we're dead. We need to admit that we played around too long with God and we feel like we're hopeless. Well, let me tell you something. God can turn our heartaches to happiness. And he can give sight where there's sightless. All we need to realize is that we can see ourselves just like we are. Ezekiel says these bones are dry. Now, in the Hebrew language, God says, "Only you know, Lord." I believe he's saying, "No way can these bones live. Lord, they're cracked and dry. They are lifeless and they are dead, and there's no way they can live." But let me tell you something. God has a way of turning our, what did I say? Nightmares into sweet dreams. God has a way of changing our speech, or giving speech to the speechless. And Lord knows we need speech today. We need to witness today. We need to tell about God today. God says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I believe they can. And Ezekiel, God says, "Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy to these bones." Now, let me tell you something. I said this in 1989. I have preached to some strange congregations. They've been some strange people come through this church. Some of them have left, and some of them are still here. I just thought I'd throw that in. I'm one of those strange people, I guess. But you know what? I've preached to some strange congregations, but never quite as much as these. These were bones. These were lifeless. And he says, "Speak to these bones and say to them, listen, bones, I want you to hear the word of the Lord." And then old faithful Ezekiel spoke to the bones. Now, talk about a strange deal. But all of a sudden, the bones started moving. And the movement became alive. And these bones, the Bible says, become alive and to become people. Let me tell you something. That's what we need in our churches. The dryness of the bones, the dryness of our lives, the dryness of our people to hear the word of God. You see, so many times we come to church and we hear the beautiful music. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, we hear the preaching of the word, but it just goes in one ear and out the other. We always think, well, he's preaching or God's trying to reach somebody in there, but surely not me. But here the bones heard and they begin to come alive. And let me tell you something. When God's word speaks to the dryness in our churches or dryness in our nation, let me tell you, his word is stronger and more powerful than a two-edged sword. It will touch our hearts. It will cut us to the quick. And God will bring life and speech where there is no speech. And he will turn our nightmares into sweet dreams. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the nightmares. I want some sweet dreams. Lastly, he brings life to the lifeless. Let me tell you something. After Ezekiel and these bones started going, I started to try to sing that song today. But you know, the music was so good, I better not try that. Last time I did that, my foot started dancing and then, you know, brought life to the lifeless. Let me tell you, that's what he did. Something began to happen. Ezekiel said, I looked and the tendons and the flesh appeared on these dry bones. In other words, skin was covering over them. They were becoming a person again. Once they were just dry bones, now they're literally becoming a person again. And the first thing you know, Ezekiel was surrounded by what? An army of bodies. But they had no life in them. I've been serving God for over 30 years now. And I know that I've seen a lot of dry bones in our churches. Once they had life. Once they had life. Man, I could go through our book and tell you person after person who once had life. They were once serving in this church. They were once doing, working for God. But something happened along the way, and now you can't find them on a Sunday morning because of the dryness in their life. Their bodies, but the spirit is not working in their life. Once they had life, once they served God, once they brought glory to God, but where are they now? They have no life. Their life is completely gone away. And what they desperately need is new life. And only God can bring life to the lifeless. And Ezekiel said, Lord, I see the bodies, but there's no breath in them. And he said to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Say to the breath, thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds and breathe. Breathe on these slain that they may live. And that's exactly what Ezekiel did. He did as the Lord commanded, and he spoke from the four winds. And what happened? The Bible says they begin to stand up. They begin to move. They begin to live. Only God can do that, folks. Only God has that resurrection power to raise people from the dead. Listen, they became a vast army. Let me tell you something. It's not enough just to straighten the life up. Some people do that. Some people come and say, preacher, I want to get my life straight. Well, is that all you want to do, straighten your life up? That's what these people did. Life requires the Spirit of God in your life. Not just straightening up. New life has to have the Spirit of God in you. And folks, let me tell you something. We need a fresh breath from God in America today. We need a fresh breath of God in our churches today. We need a fresh breath of God in our ministers today. That's what we need. It's been a long time. Only God knows that these churches and these people can live again. No wind, no breath, no spirit equals no life. Has to have the spirit. When God moves, He gives sight to the sightless, life to the lifeless, speech to the speechless, and then hope for the hopeless. You see, they were without hope. Can these bones live, Ezekiel? Can revival come to our church? Can revival come to your life? You see, if revival comes to your life, it'll come to our church, won't it? Because we are a body. We're the body of Christ. And what we need is the Spirit of God moving in our life. And only God gives hope for the hopeless. Can God come into our family? Maybe you're here this morning, you got your family with you. Can God come into your family? You say, well, preacher, I've got a lot of problems with my family. Let me tell you something, husbands. Mostly the problem is you. You see, it starts right here. The buck stops here, so to speak. God has placed you, the husband, the head of the home. You know why our children are not in church and our lives are not in order? Because of a lot of the men say, honey, would you tell our children to go to church? And they don't take them. You ought to be the leader in your home. You ought to grab your wife by the hand on Sunday morning and say, honey, we're going to church today. We're changing things around here. We're going to serve God today. Children, come on. You know what? They would come with you. They would come with you. Don't give them a chance to say no. When my dad said, boys, get ready, you're going to church, we didn't say, we want to stay home today. You didn't want to do that but one time. Oh, we need new life to the lifeless. I know God's the only one that can raise the dead, but Daddy sure did. He put life in us. You see, the answer is God can do it. You may be dry. You feel like your hope is gone. You're disappointed. You feel like, man, I've been cut off. What's wrong? It's you. It's you. God always has a solution. You know what? The solution to sin is the Savior. If you've got sin in your life, you need the Savior there. You need Christ to come into your life. If you're not excited about God, something's wrong. You need a fresh breath from God. Won't you come to Him today? Won't you say, Lord, I want a fresh breath. I don't care what everybody else does around here. I want to get back to where I once was when salvation first came into my life. You know what, church members, you always sit here. We sit here and we don't move and we don't do nothing. We think, well, he's preaching to the lost. I'm preaching right now to you, the saved. You need life. Let me tell you that. You come on Sunday night. I know some of you can't come, and that's all right. But I know that the majority of people can come, and they don't come because they don't have life. Man, when you love God, you're going to come. You know, I love my wife. I love my family. Man, I'm going to do everything I can to be with them and support them and help them. When you love something, you love football, some of you are thinking, man, I could run home and watch the game right now. But you ought to love God more. You ought to love God supremely. You know why all the great men of faith are in the chapter 11? Because they loved God supremely. They believed God. Well, listen. Listen right now. Can you hear the rattling of the dry bones coming to life in your life? In Acts, it was in the form of a rushing, mighty wind. That same wind wants to blow through here today and touch your life. If you are saved and you're dry, church worship is just a bore to you. You come because you're expected to. You're coming for the wrong reason. You ought to be the first one to get out of this aisle and come kneel at the altar and say, God, revive my heart. Revive my heart. Some of you never have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you've never been alive, you don't know, but why not invite Jesus to come into your heart today? You feel like you're helpless? You are. But the Spirit of God wants to give you new life. It wants to turn your worst nightmares into sweet dreams. It wants to turn your heartaches into happiness. Would you come today? Some of you are looking for a church home. Well, let me tell you, you won't find a better church home than First Baptist Church Gun Barrel. You might find a better pastor, but you won't find a better church home. Would you come? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the rushing mighty wind that's sweeping through our church. And Lord, we pray today that our hearts will be stirred to a commitment. And we give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.